Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think sometimes when we go through Old Testament and we read stories, and we're going to hear some pretty crazy stories about Joshua going into the promised land, that somehow we think that, well, that's how God worked then, and he doesn't work like that today. That's not true, is it?
No.
Now, I'm going to show my age a little bit, but when I first started pastoring, in the service they had something called, "Can I Get a Witness for the Lord?" And people would stand up and talk about what God's doing in their life. Now, you heard 10, "Can I Get a Witness" this morning of what God's doing? And God has worked uniquely in each one of their lives in special ways. So whatever we talk about in Joshua, realize it's still the same God that we worship today. Amen? So last week, and for those that are visiting, whether online or in the service, we just started a series in the book of Joshua. And last week, we talked about his call and how he was leading Israel into the promised land. And over and over and over again, he said, "Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous." But if you noticed last week, I didn't draw attention to this, but in verse 9, the very last verse, he flipped it. And here's what he said. "Don't be terrified, don't be discouraged." I thought about that because, you know, Joshua saw firsthand what the promised land looked like. He went in with 12 spies, and he saw the walled cities, and he saw the giants. He saw the massive armies they would have to face. He knew what they were about to face, and he also knew human nature. Last time, they allowed fear to dictate their actions. And he knew what war was like because he already faced many battles under the leadership of Moses. So in these verses 10 through 18, there's a lot we could talk about. But, you know, the first part of the message was these stories. Amen? So I'm going to give you some content to go with those stories. I want you to look at three words or phrases. Here they are. The first is the word "prepare." The second is "God is giving you." And then the third, what we talked about last week, "be strong and courageous." You're going to see that a lot. So let's look first at the word "prepare." You know, Joshua had to prepare himself so he could lead. And any good leader, if they're going to lead, has to first deal with their own heart and their heads. And when I was reading these first 18 verses, here's four things I came up with that I saw in Joshua's life. Number one, he was in tune with God. How many times last week did we say, listen, you got to read the Bible, you got to obey the scripture, you got to listen to God, and when he says go, you go. When he says stay, you stay. So often today we think of leadership, and we read so many things, and I'm not saying those are wrong, but we get caught up in the popular attention of characteristics of our culture to the exclusion of keeping God at front and center. I mean, Joshua was someone who kept God front and center. And we must not deceive ourselves into thinking that God sanctions things we self-deceive into our own thinking. I mean, we convince ourselves of things that God never said. And we self-deceive. Why? To justify. Because whatever situation we find ourselves in, we want to take control, don't we? We think we have to be in control. But like we often say, how's that working for you? Secondly, characteristics of preparing is he's willing to take tough stands. Now, we got to know the difference between being stubborn and legalistic and being strong and courageous. There is a difference if you didn't know. This is not about our preferences. It's not about our perceptions. It's not about winning an argument. It's taking a tough stand on "thus saith the Lord." A tough stand. And you notice this time around, he was there 40 years before. It's not up for congregational vote this time. He says, "Lord says we go, we're going, who's coming with me?" Three, you got to be able to delegate responsibility. In these verses again, he talked about the men of valor. He's sending the armed men, they're going in first before the other people go in to find rest. And so we see him delegating responsibility and authority to do what he asked them to do. And he calls for the men to join him, officers of the people. But, you know, so often again, because we want to control, we want to tell them what to do, but we don't grant them the authority to do it. And all through these stories, you're going to see Joshua saying, okay, you know what? Run with it. You got the responsibility, you got the authority to deal with it. Then four, as a leader, he had a plan of action. You have to know what your mission is and lay out an emergent strategic plan. Now, when I say emergent strategic plan, it's, you know, the end game. The end game here is what? Take the promised land. But you see him shifting and adapting in every situation along the way. And we're going to see this in coming lessons. One of the more popular ones is the walls of Jericho. Not a typical military strategy to march around. But he is willing to listen to God, create a plan towards the end game of, we're going to take this land because it is our promised land. Unity and mission. The next phrase then, God is giving you. This is important. Here's the first part of that. It is God who gives the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Who gets credit for the victory? Who pulls you through these circumstances? And when you start saying, look what I did, guess what happens? God says, okay, you can go ahead. You can do what you think you ought to do. But, you know, when you decide to look at me again, I'll be here. You know, April shared about being the prodigal coming back. That's where someone took their own life in their own hands and didn't realize it's God who gives us the victory. Number two, majority is not always right. Like I said before, 12 spies before, 10 said no, 2 said yes, 10 won out. And what's crazy is, you know, they went and appointed a leader to take them back to Egypt into slavery because they thought somehow it was better there than where they were. I think of David and Goliath, a young teenage boy. He comes up and he says, what's wrong with you? It's one man. We got a big God. And he says, okay, I'll fight. And you know what's even crazier? The king actually lets him do it. King doesn't step up. The commander of the army lets him do it. He doesn't step up. He should be the one. So the majority's not always right. But you always have to go back to, thus saith the Lord. It's not my idea. It's not my way. It's not I'm right. It's God is always right. Amen?
Amen.
Three, God is giving you, if you don't listen, disbelief is often fatal. 40 years prior, they made that fatal decision. Every male leader, 20 years and older at that time, has now died. That's why they're going into the promised land now. They did not get to go in and see the fulfillment of the promise of God because at that stage of the game, they had disbelief. They believed the 10 spies that said, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. But with God, all things are what?
Possible.
Somebody shared that this morning, didn't they? Number four, obeying God is what matters. When you're a leader, when you realize God is giving you, the only choice you have if you're going to be successful, if God's going to give you the victory, is you have to obey God. That is what matters. Nothing else. Not your sense of whatever, not how you think it should go, not how you perceive things. It's what does God say about this? Then last week, we looked at be strong and courageous. And I want to repeat what I said last week. The word strong in a military sense means hold your position or move forward. Being strong in a military sense means no retreat. Those are God's orders. In all these 10 stories you hear this morning, there is no retreat. It is moving forward. And that's what we do as well. I know people in situations where they remain strong, but they hang on to their narrative. They're not strong in the Lord. They're strong in their own story, in their own beliefs, in their own, here's how I viewed and seen this particular situation. And the truth is, we all do that, don't we? We do it to justify ourselves, to convince ourselves that we are actually better than we really are. The word courage in a military sense Do what is necessary, even though it's dangerous. Being strong does not mean we don't get weary and tired. It means in spite of being tired and weary, we don't quit. And courage does not mean that I'm not afraid. What it does mean is I fear God more than I fear my circumstances. And I think there's four areas to me when we talk about being strong and courageous. There's four areas we need to listen to him and be strong and courageous when we look at ourselves. I mean, you know that it always begins where? With you. You want to fix somebody else? It begins with you. You want to help somebody else? It begins with you. And there's four areas when I read the book of Joshua, I see consistent in his life. The first is attitude. Now, you ever say this? Wow, that person has an attitude. Yeah, you laugh, you know. And whenever we say that, it's always a negative sense. It's always like, you know, hey, you know, walk around them because they got an attitude today. But what about having an attitude of thanksgiving? What about an attitude of gratitude? What about an attitude of service and faith? What about an attitude of being a conqueror and not a victim?
Yes. Yeah.
Joshua had that attitude that said, thus saith the Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Secondly, words. Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I will tell you in life that people will speak death into you if you let them. There's people that will speak life into you if you let them. I'm fascinated how many times we don't let people speak life into us because we are speaking death into ourselves. When I read Joshua, he speaks life into his own life. He speaks life into his commanders. He speaks life into the people that are around him. And so the question I have for you this morning is, will you speak death or life into others? Will you be strong and courageous in speaking our words that are consistent with God's word? As the psalmist prayed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. He is the evaluator of those things. Then there's actions. I put down here, God's plan or our plan? Are we being faithful to God's word? Are we being faithful to God's plan? Where are we making exceptions while claiming that we're being obedient to God? Where are we like the 10 spies who said, listen, yes, it's the promised land. Yes, it's everything that God said. Yes, it's a land flowing of milk and honey. But, and they refused to obey God, even though God was totally accurate with everything he told them before they went and sent the spies. How many times in action plans do we say, but you don't understand? And so what we do is we run. We excuse our behaviors because we're not being strong and courageous. And we want to blame somebody else for that. It's often these places where we just kind of quit. And that's not being strong and courageous. Then there's responses. It's very simple. Joshua said it this way. No matter what you do for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the response. I'm going to encourage everyone here this morning that when you look at what God is asking of you and telling of you, and you say, well, what is that? It's not a call like Joshua to take a land. It's a call every day. It's a call to be a faithful spouse. It's a call to be a faithful child to your parents. It's a call to be faithful grandparents to your grandkids and to your own kids. It's a call to be a faithful worker. It's a call to, for those that are in recovery, to work out your recovery every single day and make it that day the day you stay clean. So don't look for this big, fancy call that God is laying on you. What you look for is every single day, God calls you to, number one, bless somebody else. And that's what Christians are called to do. Number two, take a stand for who he is in our world. In other words, don't jockey and don't negotiate and don't quit because, well, there's a lot of pressure out there. Every day he calls us to be faithful. Every day he calls us to the unity that the Spirit has given to the church. That is a calling. Every day he calls us to love God with all our heart and all our soul, all our body, all our minds, and to love others as ourselves. I mean, all those things in Scripture that are commands are callings to us. But so often we say, well, you know, God really hasn't called me yet. No, he has. It's time to be strong and courageous and live it in this world, because I got to tell you right now, this world desperately needs to see what the power of Jesus Christ can do in their lives. Amen? So, we heard the stories of what God has done in the lives of those baptized and what he is doing and what he's going to do. So the first question I have for you this morning is this. Have you given your life over to Jesus? Some of the women that were baptized today were those that accepted Christ back in Palm Sunday. I mean, how cool is that? I told you last week there was one that was going to get baptized, but she died 5 days later. Think about that decision she made in that Sunday and the difference it's making for eternity. So if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask yourself, why am I not doing this today? And if that's you and you want to, I'm going to ask you to stand, because we're going to pair somebody with you, because this is the starting point. You're designed in the image of God. You are called to be a son or daughter, and you're living outside that calling right now. So if you're here this morning and want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, just stand, safe place here. They'll cheer like they did for those in baptism. Someone else? Hallelujah! Okay. Sharon? This young lady over here? Right there? Can you see her? Oh, here's another one. Okay. Third one. Sharon, this reminds me of Palm Sunday. There was three. Right here. One, two, three. As you were getting your pocketbook, they kept standing. Ladies, will you go out with Sharon? And she's going to talk to you about this. Yeah, just go to the back. What better morning? 10 in the kingdom. I mean, 10 in the water and 3 in the kingdom. Yeah. Here's the second question. Are you living God's design for your life? Is it your design? Is it your dreams and your wishes and your wants? Or are you paying attention to what God has? Because I got to tell you, it's a lot better to listen to what he has, because he knows how you're wired. Amen. So often we live according to other people's designs. Have you noticed that? It's what other people want for us. It's what other people say we should do. It's what other people say we're good at. But are you living according to God's design? If not, you got to do what Joshua did. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going in. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team up as I ask you the third question. Where do you need to be strong and courageous? I know many of you are living in some pretty tough situations. Job losses, health losses. Some are wrestling with addiction. You're living in situations that you really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But let me ask you this. Are you taking that situation, and are you living in a way that's not biblical? In other words, are you following according to your plan or God's plans? Are you saying, you know what, I'm going to do it my way, at least for this. It isn't that bad. My encouragement to you is to be strong and courageous. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. And there are people around you that will help you, that will walk with you. There are people around you that when you are tired and you can't stand up, they will lift you up. That's what the body's for. So it's a good morning to be here in worship, isn't it? Let's pray together. Father, I think of these three that have decided to follow you. You know their stories. You know where they're at. You know their circumstances. And we just pray that you do a work in their life that only you can do, and they just sense your spirit this morning, because as they leave this place, they're going to face the prince and power of this world that just is not happy when anybody gives their life over to you. I pray for these 10 that decided to make that a declaration to this congregation. I pray in their boldness that you help them be strong and courageous, because again, the prince and power of this world just doesn't like people declaring Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be with them. May your spirit guide and direct them as well. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can be here this morning. As we bow to an audience of one, we're blessed because of your truth and grace in our lives. So lead us this week, Lord. Maybe not be discouraged and terrified, but maybe be strong and courageous in who you call us to be and what you called us to do. And we pray these things in your name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.